Please welcome Gene Melter.
Thank you, Kirk. Good evening, everyone. Well, I found pregnancy very challenging, especially the first time. When it happened, my husband Matt and I were living in Tacoma, Washington. He was teaching at the University of Puget Sound. I was teaching middle school, and we had a lovely old home. And all our friends and family, when the news spread, were so delighted for us. And we really enjoyed the attention you get when you're expecting your first child. But it turns out the attention was the only thing I enjoyed about being pregnant, because I was one of those people who experienced unrelenting nausea. So it wasn't confined to the morning. It wasn't confined to the first trimester. So I was the woman in the car in front of you at a stoplight, opened her door and barfed on the pavement. And I was the teacher who said, "Excuse me, class," and barfed into a little round metal trash can next to her desk. And all the while, I was being oppressed and persecuted by a big fat paperback called What to Expect When You're Expecting. This is a Bible for pregnant women. Mostly it just tells you what you should and should not do while you're pregnant, including you need to eat about 50 different vegetables a day. And so it made me feel like I was already a terrible mother, because the only foods I could reliably keep down were potato chips and M&Ms. Eventually, my midwife became concerned that I wasn't gaining weight and put me on a drug that took the edge off the nausea so I could broaden my diet. And by the way, you might be thinking, you know, here you are complaining, you know, why couldn't you just suck it up and it's such a miracle and you're gonna get a baby out of it, and that's all true. And I did not take my fertility in my mid-30s for granted, and I really wanted a baby, but the thing is, when you're pregnant the first time, there's some part of you that doesn't even believe there's a baby in there, because it's so incomprehensible, a human growing inside another human. You can't properly picture it, even with the ultrasound and everything. So I was not as grateful, maybe on some level, as I might have been had I not been sick. I was more like an immigrant crossing the Atlantic on a ship and heaving over the side and thinking, why am I even on this goddamn ship, you know? So a friend suggested we take a childbirth class, is what all first-time parents are supposed to do. They didn't do it, of course, for thousands and millions of years. Thousands? I don't know. How many long have we been here? But anyway, in the last 50 years, we're supposed to do this. So we signed up, and the class was called Informed Beginnings. And the teacher of this class had helped hundreds of babies come into the world because she was a doula or a childbirth coach. And she had long braids and Birkenstocks, and she was soft-spoken, very sweet. We met in her home, I think. There were five or six couples, all first-time parents, all delighted and excited. And we worked on breathing, and we worked on massage, the husband's massaging the wives. And a few weeks into this, our teacher told us she was going to show us a video, a childbirth video, and then we're going to discuss it afterwards. So this is the video. Okay. Dark-haired woman is in her home, and she goes into labor. So she calls her doctor, and then her husband drives her to the hospital. She meets her doctor at the hospital. And she's in labor at the hospital, and things aren't going well. Her cervix isn't dilating fast enough, and she's in a lot of pain. So she asks for some pain relief, and so the doctor rolls her over on her side. And then the camera's really close now. It's just right at her spine. And then the nurse hands him a huge hypodermic needle. And then you see that needle going right into her spine. You can't even look. It's just so horrible to watch. And then he rolls her back over, and then from then on, things go just go completely awry. So now her labor isn't progressing, and she's not dilating, and then she ends up having, you know, she has to have an IV, and then they have to give this medication that makes the labor even worse, you know, faster and stronger contractions. And then she ends up having a C-section, which we're told is very, very risky. And it turns out that the baby's okay, but the mother's in bad shape, and it's going to take her weeks to heal, and she's going to have a very hard time taking good care of that baby. So after the film ended, we all agreed with the teacher that all this medical intervention was a very bad idea, and that one was very foolish to ask for pain relief. And we all the wives turned to their husbands and said, "Don't let me have any drugs during labor, no matter what I say." And then Matt and I drove home, and we agreed that we were so fortunate to have found that great class where we learned about all this bad medical stuff that can happen during labor, and we were definitely going to have natural childbirth. The next week, the teacher showed us a very different video. This is the video. Pretty blonde woman is in her home with her husband, and there's a bunch of tow-headed children running around, and she's in labor, and her midwife is there because she's not even going to the hospital. She's going to give birth at home. And she's walking around and groaning, and every once in a while she stops and leans on a piece of furniture. Then the film jumps forward a few hours. Now, blonde woman is on her bed, lying down, and she looks hideous. Her face is scrunched up and painted. Her hair is matted. Her head, which is she's sweating, and sounds are coming out of her that aren't even human. So she sounds like a huge dying animal, like maybe a moose or something, lying there, and she's just contorted. It's horrible to watch. Now we jump another few hours. Now, blonde woman, who looks absolutely terrifying at this point, she's squatting on her bed and she's holding on to the headboard. And she's shaking and just pouring with sweat, and she's just roaring with pain. And her children are running in out of the room, and I can't believe they're not traumatized. And her husband is rubbing her back and saying soothing things, and I cannot believe she hasn't killed him. But then she has the baby, and she and her whole family are, you know, absolutely overjoyed. And I can't remember the discussion we had after this video. But I was just shaken to the core. And the drive home, I do remember. I'm in the passenger side seat, and it's raining because this is the Northwest. And it's raining and dark, and I'm in the passenger seat, and I'm crying really, really hard. And I'm saying to Matt, "I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this." Well, of course, a few weeks later, I did do it, because every pregnancy comes to an end. It's one of the few things in life we can really count on, that a pregnancy will come to an end. And I'm not going to go into the details. I'll just tell you that the relief was tremendous. Thank you.